Hi guys, my name's Yasmin. I'm one of the lead pastors here at Centerset Church, brand new church plant in Silicon Valley. Hey, we're excited to meet you. If you're in the area, come check us out on Sundays, 11 a.m. at the Hotel Valencia in Santana Row.
Can you guys hear me? My name is Ali. For those of you that are guests, I'm the lead pastor of this church. We took a hiatus from this sermon series called God's Plan last week, and we heard four of our own people give it up for them last week. They killed it. We did this thing called a 4x6 where four preachers bring fire for 6 straight minutes. And if you missed out on last week's sermon, you can go on iTunes. And because we took a 1 week hiatus, I want to read you the very last verse of what we read 2 weeks ago, just to give you some context. Follow with me on the screen. Genesis chapter 39. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Next verse. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever. Say whatever. Whatever he did. I'm going to speak to you today on the idea that of incubation through isolation. Let me say that again. Incubation through isolation. And I pray it's going to encourage some of you. If you guys would just pray with me this morning. God, I just want to thank you so much, God, for that you brought us here. Thank you, God, so much that for this community of faith. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing something amazing in this church, amazing amongst our midst. Thank God that you have a plan for each and every person in this room, God, that it's bigger than our own plans for ourselves. That God, I just pray, Lord, for those who are coming here, God, that you would reveal Jesus to us, that you would open up our eyes so that we can see him this morning. God, awaken us to the God dream that you've placed inside of each one and each and every one of us, that we would walk into this room and we would walk out different than the way we walked in. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Come on, a little bit louder. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Who's excited to be in church this evening? Come on now. I know it's Sunday evening, but you can still get some Holy Spirit ghosts on you this morning, on this evening. So this past month has been crazy for my family. Not only do I have a 2.5-year-old that knows how to unlock the door, listen, and run out in the middle of the street, pray for me, but we added a church on top of that about a year ago, and then about 4 weeks ago, when we weren't juggling enough things in our life, we added another baby in our life. Pray for us. And what I find, so yeah, you can clap for that. My wife did all the hard work. I just watched. What I find so fascinating, though, about when a God dream is birthed, it's the same as when a woman gives birth to her own child. See, there are so many similarities between a God dream and a child being born. See, that baby, my little baby Zoe, who was about 4 weeks old, she was in the womb alone. She was in the womb in darkness. She was isolated by herself. And you couldn't see what was going on, but rest assured that she was growing little by little. And what's this sham that everyone lies that it's a 9-month pregnancy? Come on, it's 40 weeks. That's 10 months. Who bamboozled us guys? It's only in 9 months. Even the women have to suffer more than us, right? But as excited as my wife and I were to see our little baby Zoe, listen, we didn't want her to arrive one day early. Because we knew if she came even one day early, she would be premature. You know what they do with little preemie babies? They put them in an incubator. It's where the doctor can control the environment to bring the baby back to health. And it's where they put the baby in this big tube, and they control the environment so the baby can further get healthy. And I find that this word incubator has so much relevance this morning for us today. Read with me this verse, or this definition of incubation. Incubation is to develop, what's that second word? Say it with me. Slowly, without outward or perceptible signs. How many of you know that in this morning that your God dream, and that God gives every person in this room a God dream, your God dream needs to go through a season of incubation? See, before God can let you come out of the womb, he needs to make sure that you can grow a little bit. And in the same way that my 4-week-old daughter, spent 9 months alone without any outward perceptible signs. My wife's stomach was growing, but we couldn't see baby Zoe. We didn't know she was growing hands and feet. Hopefully she becomes a Golden State Warriors fan and doesn't join the dark side with the Lakers. Come on now. don't be troubled over what you see. Our Lord is coming back. Come on now. And it only matters in April when we go to the finals. Come on. And what I'm trying to say this morning is, in the same way that my daughter, who was 4 weeks old, had to be in the incubator, your God dream has to go through a season of isolation. Before God can trust you, he needs to test you. And that there's a season where you need to be alone with him so that he can have, you can learn how to lean on him instead of other people and on things. And see, so many people, how many of you go to the gym this morning or even this last week? Come on, this is Silicon Valley. More people love the gym than Jesus in this valley. Come on, let's be honest. How many know that muscles are not the start, are not a sign of strength? You hear what I said this morning? That muscles are not the start of strength. They're a sign of strength. See, muscles develop after the workout, after the trial, after the tribulation. After you focus on them and isolate them, do they develop? In the same way that a seed, listen, has to go underneath the ground. And the weight of the world, the weight of the soil has to go on top of it. That seed has to go alone, isolated by itself. And even though there are no outward signs, that little thing is growing. See, all of us want fruit in our lives. No one walks through that season of isolation. See, we want the fruit without the pain. We want glory without the cross. See, this morning I want to tell you that if you're willing to go slow, you're going to grow. If you're willing to go slow, you're going to grow. And I think there's no better illustration than in the life of Joseph, of incubation through isolation. See, for those of you that are new to this sermon series, if this is your first time at church, welcome. This is a church for the young church. We explain everything as if you've been here for the very first time. Joseph is one of 12 brothers. His mom must have been very hot for his dad to keep going. Come on now. He's the 11th son. And we know that Joseph is super loved by his dad because his dad gives him and only him a coat of many colors. Modern translation, Jacob, the dad, takes all of his other kids to Goodwill and then takes Joseph to Nordstrom Rack and goes, you can buy anything you want. Get some muscle up, your skinny jeans, some Adidas shoes, whatever you want. And the other kid's like, dad, I want those shoes. Shut up. No one asked you. That's Joseph. He's favored more than all the other kids. But Joseph has a personal relationship with God. At the age of 17, God gives him a God dream. And the question I get asked most often is, how do I find my purpose in life? How do I get my God dream? Get to know God. Yeah. It's not about going to church. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not even about having a relationship with your pastor. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And Joseph, even though he's this 17-year-old spoiled brat, he had a personal relationship with God. And even though he didn't deserve it, even though he didn't earn it, God gave him a dream for his life that was bigger than him. And God said in his dream, it was a God dream, that Joseph, one day, all of your brothers and even your dad are going to bow down and worship you. And Joseph, being this obnoxious, spoiled little brat, he wakes up the next morning. Guys, turn off the TV. We don't need to watch cartoons this morning. You got to hear this God dream that God gave me. And if his brothers didn't already hate him because he had the nice shoes and the jeans, he goes, guys, all of you one day are going to bow down and worship me. Can we just throw a party right now? Come on, who's excited? And his brothers put him into slavery. Some of you, 2 weeks ago, you celebrated Thanksgiving and you couldn't stand your family. Listen, no one in your family tried to sell you into slavery. It's not that bad. Joseph got it way worse than you. But what we realized in the story of Joseph is that you have to go through some tests before your God dream can come to pass. See, a dream that hasn't been tested is a dream that can't be trusted. And the very first test of every God dream, we have it on iTunes, is the test of rejection. Joseph had to go through some rejection. He had to hear some no, but there's more to know. And as he's being sold into slavery, he goes down to Egypt and he begins to work as a slave in Potiphar's house. And what's so beautiful about the story is God never forsaked him. God never left him. He rises through the ranks as the best slave in Potiphar's house. And not only does he find favor with Potiphar, listen, he finds favor with Mrs. Potiphar. She's just chilling in her Fashion Nova outfit. What's up, Joe? You want to sit on the couch with me? Maybe we can Netflix and chill. Maybe we can just chill, right? Like, she's flirting with him. Game is strong. Like, let's get naked. And he has to pass the second test of every God dream, which is the test of temptation. And we told you 2 weeks ago that don't take the bait. Don't let your God dream take you to a place where your character can't sustain you. And that there's going to be temptations along the way. They're going to derail you from your God dream. And Joseph does the right thing. He says, heck no, woman. Tell the devil no, not today. And he leaves her. And this cougar, listen, this cougar lies. Let's be real this morning. She lies and throws him in jail, saying he tried to rape her. Put hands on him, assaulted him, and he goes into prison. And Joseph does the right thing, but he's in the wrong place. I think there are so many Christians here this morning that you're following God. with all of your heart and you find yourself in the wrong place and you think God has abandoned you, you think God has left you, you feel overlooked and abandoned, listen, you are in the perfect place. Because even though Joseph feels like he's in the wrong place, he's in the perfect place because God is going to put him in an incubator. In the same way that doctors put babies that are premature in an incubator for their further development, Joseph's God dream is still premature. He doesn't have the character to handle the dream, and God needs to develop him a little bit more. So God places him. God in Romans chapter 8 says he can work all things for the good of those that love him. See, sometimes we see what happens around us. We see what people do to us, and we wonder where God is. God is still there, working all things for your good. They can take your position. They can take your family. They can't take your purpose. Doesn't matter where you are, God is still there. God is with Joseph when he's in slavery and he rises to the ranks. And then he's with Joseph, listen, even when he's in prison. And Joseph rises to the ranks. And for your God dream, there are three things that you need to do if you want to pass that test. It's the test of isolation. It's who you are when no one's looking. Who are you when no one else is around? When you're all alone with God. That's the real you. And if you want to pass that test, listen, you got to do three things. And the first thing is this, write this down. Isolation. Isolation is not a permanent destination. See, what I'm not saying is that you need to live your life alone. Some of you single ladies are like, oh my gosh, what are you saying? Is it just me and God? No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'd be all alone. I'm just saying that there are moments, there are seasons in your life where you need to learn to walk on your own two feet. Yeah. And you need to get alone with God so he can further develop the very thing that he's placed inside of you. See, we live in a generation that has no clue the suffering that we had to go through a couple years ago. How many of you are familiar with this thing called pictures, photographs? Come on now. The real way of developing these things. Like some of you who are under the age of 24, you think I'm a dinosaur right now. Right? A couple years ago, there was this thing called cameras, where you actually had to drive to a store and buy this object, this apparatus called a camera. And then in another aisle, you had to buy this thing called film. Today it's totally different. You need to pull out your iPhone. You take 9,000 selfies before breakfast. And listen, we've already seen your coffee every day. No one wants to see it. Let's be honest. Right? But back in the day, it was different. You had 12 pictures. And if you were balling, you had 24. Right? You wouldn't waste your pictures on breakfast. If someone took your camera, listen, and they took a picture of a selfie of themselves, you would kill that person. Because every photo mattered. Every photo was precious. And then when you were done, it was like you were defusing a bomb, right? You'd open up the camera, you had your little spy camera, the capsule, you'd pull out the film, pop it in, and then some of you won't even believe it. You had to get in your car and drive to another building. Scary, these times we lived in. And then you had to hand him, this other person behind the counter, your pictures. And you wouldn't just wait like 5 minutes. You would go home for a week. And then for a whole week, you were nervous. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know if they're going to turn out good. I don't know. I took a bunch of pictures. I went on vacation. I don't know. I hope they turn out good. For a whole week, you were nervous, right? But that film, listen, had to go into a dark room. Yeah. Am I preaching to anyone this morning? Yeah. See, for that film to develop into a picture, it had to go alone. Into a dark room. It had to be isolated. And it would never develop fully unless it got all alone. See, some of you, you're an iPhone generation, and you think your God dream is going to develop like that. Yeah. It's a picture. It takes time. There's seasons where you need to be alone with God. Your dream will never develop until you get alone with him. Let me tell you, when I was 27, I was in the second balcony of a conference, and God spoke visions and dreams to me. He told me very clearly what he wanted to do with my life. That's when I began to leave engineering, leave the tech world for the church world. Day one was awesome. Day one was the dream. Can I tell you day two sucked? Day two was isolation. Day two was the day he began to remove people from my life, remove things from my life. Remove places from my life. Not forever, for a season. For a season, God had to separate me. For a season, God had to test me. For a season, he had to get me alone so that I can be lonely. And it was in that season that I learned how to lean on God. Some of you have never allowed God to make you uncomfortable, and you've never learned how to lean on him. You lean on a man, you lean on alcohol, you lean on your job, you lean on your finances, but you've never leaned on God. Here Joseph is. In prison, in a pit because his brother sold him. And then he's getting thrown in prison and he doesn't give up on his God dream. He goes, this isolation is just temporary. God's going to get me out. My God can work all things for my good. And he has a vision greater than his circumstances because his God is bigger than his circumstances. And listen, the very first thing you need to realize is every God dream is going to go through a season of isolation. Isolation is not permanent. Number two, you want to write this down. Isolation is an invitation. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an invitation. Turn to your other neighbor that you ignored the first time and say, it's an invitation. Some of you are like, how is it an invitation, Pastor Ali? Come on now. When you are all alone, you can focus on things you never focused on before. It gives you fresh eyes to old problems. And you don't see obstacles anymore, you see opportunities. See, Joseph realized that God didn't forsake him in the pit. Joseph realized that God didn't forsake him in slavery. Joseph realized God still hadn't forsaken him in the prison. God was still there, and every problem was an opportunity for God to show up. And look what happens in the prison. Read these verses with me. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, offended their master, the king of Egypt. I'm going to read it from down here. Sorry. You can read it up there. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream. Say they had a dream. They had a dream. The same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning and saw that they were dejected, so he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "Both had dreams. We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream." I love these eight little verses because we know more about Joseph's dream at this point than Joseph. See, at this point, we get a picture of Joseph's character. We get a glimpse into his attitude. You ever met around someone who's so happy they like piss you off, right? Right? Joseph is one of those guys. Joseph, I can just imagine walking in the prison halls like with his Mr. Rogers cardigan. Like, it's a wonderful day in the prison yard. It's a wonderful day in the prison yard. Will you be mine? My prison neighbor. And he goes up to these two guys. He's like, "Why are you so sad?" And they're like, "Dude, are you kidding me? We're in prison." He's like, "Come on. Our God is so big. These obstacles are opportunities. This isolation is an invitation to something greater." I have a friend who lives in Miami. And he before he bought his home, he lived in this apartment complex. And he would tell me about this maintenance worker that used to work in his building. This guy's spirit was so amazing. It was contagious to everyone in the building. This guy couldn't even speak English. And his spirit was affecting others. Every time this guy would come out of his house, this one maintenance worker who couldn't speak English was like, "Aha, papi, aha," like always excited to see this one friend of mine. One time on a Monday morning at 6 a.m., I'm telling you, even the devil's sleeping at 6 a.m. No one's supposed to be happy at 6 a.m. My friend walks out like an angry cat, and this guy's mopping the floor. And as soon as he sees my friend, he's like, "Aha, papi, bang, 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 bang." My friend's like, "Dude, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your job is. When someone's going bang, bang, bang at 6 in the morning, you're going to walk around saying, maybe I am Poppy, right?" That's this guy's spirit. Doesn't matter if he's mopping floors. His spirit is saying something different. That's Joseph. He's in prison, but he has joy. He's not looking at his circumstances. He's not looking at his life that his brothers rejected him. He's not looking at the cougar who lied about him. He's not even looking at his circumstance of being in prison with no hope to escape. He's looking to his God. Yeah. And that's what brings him joy. And he goes up to these two dudes like, "Bro, why are you so sad?" He's like, "We had a dream last night and no one can interpret it." He's like, "Do you know who my God is? My God is so big. Not only does he give dreams, he can interpret them. I know God. Tell me and I'll tell you. I can tell him and I'll interpret the dream for you." You ever been around people who are just happy? Can I tell you something this morning? Happy people help people. Happy people help people. See, some of you, you're isolated and you're alone and you're dejected and you're oppressed. If I can be honest, some of you are depressed this morning. And I'm all about counseling and medication and the holistic view to get healthy. But one of the best remedies for your deliverance is to help another person. This is why, as your pastor, I'm always going to tell you to go to the growth track. I'm always going to tell you to serve. It doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, engineer, an entrepreneur. It doesn't matter what you are in the tech industry. You need to serve other people in the local church. You know why? Because happy people help people. And if you're not happy, maybe it's because you're not helping anyone. And if you want to be happy, maybe you should help someone. And here Joseph is by himself, alone. His family has rejected him. Potiphar's wife, the cougar, lied about him. And he still got joy. And he's still serving people. Why? Because happy people help people. Can I tell you, what you focus on alone is what people are going to demand in public. Let me say it another way. The demand that you put on your gift in private is what people are going to demand in public. Let me say it another way. What you focus on in the incubation period is who you'll become when you come out. See, for 10 straight years when God gave me that God dream, guess where I was preaching? In my bedroom, to my pillow, when no one else was there. I was alone. I was by myself. I was in a room by myself. There were times, listen, I was in the backyard of my house preaching sermons, and the only people that would raise their hands were squirrels. And I'm telling you, there are squirrels in my old house that are filled with the Spirit of God. Cats never raised them. Come on. The devil made three things. Cats, spiders, and math. And if you have a cat, we'll pray for you after church. But squirrels always were raising their hands after I preached. Listen, for 5 years, I was a youth pastor for 10 kids. Half of them sold drugs. The other half were filled with demons. And there were times I'm like, why did you call me into the ministry, God? None of these kids care about what I'm preaching. And for years, alone, by myself, I was preaching sermons for 20 hours preparing for kids who didn't care what I was doing. See, what the demand that you put on your gift in private is the demand that people are going to put in public. And this next Wednesday, guess where I'm going? I'm going to Valley Christian to preach the gospel to 2,000 kids. When five, 6 years ago, I was preaching to a room of 20. Why? Because the way that you handle your isolation is going to determine your growth. Here Joseph is, alone, by himself. No one sees him, but it's a test. Will you serve people this morning? Will you serve people in your prison? Because how you handle your isolation is going to determine what you do outside of it. Can God trust you in the palace before he has you in the prison? See, everyone wants to go to the palace and preach to the Pharaoh, but can he trust you with the prisoners? That's who you really are. When no one's looking, when it's just you. Will you serve when no one's clapping for you? Will you serve when there isn't a large crowd? Will you serve when there's no title? That's Joseph. He does it when no one's there. He does it when no one's looking. He does it when even no one congratulates him. He goes up to the baker and goes, yo, I know God. He can interpret your dream. The baker's like, all right, here's my dream. And I'm going to save you the details. But Joseph's like, I know what the interpretation is. In 3 days, you're going to be restored to the Pharaoh's palace, and you're going to go back. And the baker's like, yo, interpret my dream too. And Joseph's like, oh, I'm sorry. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to kill you. Like, what do you say after that? Like, want to play cards? Like... But Joseph was doing the very thing that God called him to do. He was serving when no one was looking. He didn't treat his incubator as isolation. He realized it was a test. Number one, isolation is not permanent. Number two, isolation is an invitation. And number three, write this down if you want to help get out of this test of isolation. Isolation often leads to your elevation. Isolation often leads to your elevation. Here Joseph is in prison for 2 more years because the cupbearer, as soon as he leaves the prison, he's like, Joseph's like, Leo, don't forget me when you get out of prison. My brother sold me into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied about me. And now here I am for 13 years, Joseph's in prison. For 2 more years after the cupbearer, he spends 2 more years in prison. The cupbearer walks out, checks his fantasy football team, and totally forgets about Joseph. But I can tell you something about Joseph. We don't know what he's doing for those 2 years, but I promise you he's still wearing that Mr. Rogers cardigan, still walking around going, ha, papi, bang, 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 to the different prisoners. Why? Because he's got a spirit that's greater than his circumstances. And then God creates a problem. Pharaoh has a dream, and no one can interpret that dream. And then Joseph is remembered. The cupbearer says, yo, Pharaoh, there's this one guy that I remember who can interpret dreams. See, at that point, the Pharaoh had been pulling his hair out. He had gone to Google and watched every TED talk there was. He had gone to the Amazon bookstore and downloaded and bought every self-help book that he could buy. He invited the magicians, the sorcerers, the corporate consultants. No one could help Pharaoh. And the cupbearer said, there's a guy in prison who sees isolation as an invitation. This guy was the happiest guy in the world because happy people help people, Pharaoh. You want this guy on your team. Pharaoh's like, where is he? He's like, he's in prison. Go get him. So they get Joseph, and he walks out of the prison looking like Tom Hanks from Castaway. Beard down to his ankles, right? And then they shave him. They gave him a high flat top, and then put mascara on him. It's in your Bible. You should read your Bible. It's like weird. Egyptians were weird. And he goes up to the Pharaoh and goes, Pharaoh, tell me your dream. Listen, Joseph knew what to do because he was doing it in the prison. He learned more how to be a king in the prison than he did in the palace. And the Pharaoh tells him his story. And he tells him the one story where these seven fat cows come out of the Nile River. And right after these seven fat cows, seven skinny cows come out and they eat the fat cows. And Pharaoh's like, no one in Egypt knows what this means. Joseph's like, it's easy. My God, nothing's impossible for my God. Your dream is 7 years of surplus, followed by 7 years of famine. And if you follow my instructions, Pharaoh, and when the 7 years of famine hit, listen, not only will God flip the tables and you'll be able to provide food for everyone in your country, but you'll be a blessing to every country around you. And the Pharaoh's like, dude, where have you been my whole life? He's like, dude, I've been in Growth Track at Center Set Church. Where do you think I've been? He's like, where have you been? He goes, bro, when I was in prison and I was having bad days, I had my Center Set group go, papi, ah, bang, 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 encouraging me when I had bad days. He's like, where were you? He's like, I was on the prison fit team, leading prisoners who were far from God to know Jesus. Where do you think I was? I was in the prison, handling my isolation, handling my incubation for my growth. Pharaoh goes, from this day forward, no more. You're going to be number two in my house. And watch what it says in Genesis chapter 41. Then the Pharaoh, say Pharaoh. The number one man in the kingdom said to Joseph, the guy who had spent 13 years in prison, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Next verse. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all of my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. See, some of you, you can clap for that. Joseph's story is amazing. Some of you, you look at your circumstances. When you look at your God. You need to see that your God dream is still premature and God is doing the best thing for you by not letting you come out in time. You need to learn in the prison how to serve those around you before you go to the palace. Listen, before I came here leading a thriving church, listen, I was leading 10 people in a youth group when no one was looking. And God is not done with you. This season is temporary. You need to see your obstacles as opportunities. And it's an invitation. Listen, if you handle your isolation properly, it's going to be the very thing that elevates you to the next test. And next week, I'm going to talk about what that test is. Joseph's going to meet his brothers. And if you thought Jerry Springer was crazy, next week's going to be crazy. And Joseph's going to meet his brothers. And what he does is a picture of Jesus. And in every story that we read, Jesus is the hero. See, Jesus was the God who became a man. And he had to pass through some tests. He had to go through the test of isolation. How many of you know that every morning Jesus would pull away to be alone with God? Because he knew being around God was never a substitute to being near God. Some of you come to church, but you don't spend time with Jesus. Some of you read your book as a religious obligation, forgetting that the Bible's meant to take you to Jesus himself. This isn't a religion. This is a relationship. And Joseph, when he was in the prison, when he was in the pit, guess who was there? It was Jesus encouraging him, saying, your God dream's not done. When Joseph was in slavery in Egypt, Joseph was there with Jesus. Jesus was there giving him favor because he never leaves you, never forsakes you. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, God is still there. And when Joseph was in prison for 13 years alone, when everyone, not only his family, but the cupbearer had forgotten, Jesus was there saying, bang, 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 papi, don't give up. My God dream in you is still gonna come to pass. And when Jesus, not only was he in the Garden of Gethsemane, going through the same test himself, he brought his 12 disciples there with him. Say, hey guys, will you stay up for 1 hour and pray for me? And his disciples couldn't even stay up for an hour to pray for him. And that's when Jesus was all alone with the Father, lonely. And it was in that time where he's like, God, would you please take this cup from me? My flesh is weak, but my spirit, bang, bang, is strong. It can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And not only on the cross did Jesus get rejected by man, he was rejected by God the Father. See, Jesus didn't just die as a prophet. He didn't die as a good teacher. He died as God in the flesh, not only for your sin, but as your sin. He died as our sin on the cross, as a substitute so that we can come to God free, free of any guilt, free of any works, free of any religion, that we need to do things to be close to him when he did it all for us. It was Jesus who made the way. It was Jesus who was there with Joseph saying, don't worry, one day I'm going to die on a cross for you, and my resurrection is going to be your resurrection. My death is going to be your life. My rejection is going to be your acceptance. And there are some of you here this morning, you have a relationship with God, but you still don't know your God dream. And my question for you is, what is your next step? What is your next step? For some of you, I would encourage you to cry out to God. He's real. He's here this morning. That presence that you feel is not just the heat from the lights that are burning my retinas. It's the presence of God. Maybe your next step is to say, you know what, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Maybe your next step is to come out of your seat and go to Growth Track. To be part of something bigger than yourself. Psychologists say that every person in this planet is looking for two things, purpose and to be part of something bigger than yourself, and God gives you both in the local church. Maybe your next step is you've gone to Growth Track. Maybe it's time to join the dream team. Maybe it's time to serve someone. Why? Because happy people help people. Maybe your next step is you have a private faith and you need to make it public. You need to go public with baptism. Maybe your next step is you need to forgive someone. Maybe your next step is you need to remove someone from your life. Maybe your next step is you need to get alone. You need to get uncomfortable. Instead of leaning on things for the first time in your life, you need to lean on God and realize your isolation is in fact incubation. You guys can close your eyes and bow your heads. I'd love to pray for you this morning.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast for weekly messages. If you'd like to be a part of what we're doing and invest in our community, we'd love for you to give through our app. Text CenterSet app to 77977 for updates and the ability to give online. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.